chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, welcome in, guys. Farzin Vesugian here with you for another episode of the Chief Zone podcast. Hope you're all doing well. Hope your Tuesday's going well as we wrap up the month of April. Here with you once again. And we got a lot of things to get into here. Obviously, the big news that came earlier this week, Travis Kelce redid his two-year deal, making more money, making him the highest-paid tight end in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, later that day, appeared on WWE Monday Night Raw, as did a couple of other Chiefs. The Chiefs definitely stole the show that night. I was there. Had a lot of fun seeing those guys. I will admit the rest of the event was pretty much a major bore, but it was worth being there to see the two Chiefs there. And some breaking news about an hour ago, and we've got a lot of things to get into with this one right here. The state of Kansas, their legislators, that is, they got together earlier this evening for a vote regarding the Chiefs and the Royals and trying to lure them in to the state of Kansas. Folks, the wheels have started to turn on the state of Kansas attempting to bring in the Chiefs and the Royals, or at least the Chiefs for now, because there is some big news right now. The state of Kansas has not released its renderings yet. However, Fox 4 News in Kansas City has obtained the renderings, at least two pictures of the renderings, one from the outside, one from the inside. I am very curious from what you guys have to say. I actually want a lot of audience interaction with this. Yeah, I see a lot of you guys talking about the WWE event. We will get into that later on, but we have to start off with the stadium renderings, because that is a huge deal. It's been a really big topic this month. And of course, we're closing out the month of April with this topic. So we will get into that shortly. Before we do that, I want to let you know your episode of the Chiefs Zone podcast brought to you by SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com for all of your ticketing needs. I was at WWE Raw the other night, and that is all thanks to my friends over at SeatGeek. Going to be going to a Royals game later this year as well. Going to be going courtesy of SeatGeek as well. You guys can get your ticketing needs at SeatGeek. And if you're a new SeatGeek customer, you can use my promo code Farzin and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com, purchase your tickets. Before you pay for your tickets, enter the promo code Farzin, $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Okay, let's get right into it, because the state of Kansas, they've been, ever since the vote was rejected on April the 2nd in Jackson County, there have been some rumblings from certain people that the state of Kansas, they wasted very little time getting to work on trying to get the Chiefs and maybe even the Royals. For right now, we know damn well that they want the Kansas City Chiefs. So here is the rendering right here. This is it. And I posted this on my Facebook page, I want to say about 40 minutes ago, less than 40 minutes ago. And I'll tell you right now, this is one of those very few posts where there are a lot of comments. There's exactly 300 comments within the last 38 minutes. Listen, sometimes I'll post something and there'll get a lot of likes, hearts, angry faces, laughing emojis, whatever, in a short amount of time. But it's very rare to see 300 comments within 38 minutes. There are a lot of people reacting. It seems like more people actually like what they're seeing. There are also some people very upset by this, judging by the emoji reactions on the Facebook post. Let me just quickly check Instagram, because I'll be honest, I don't do a good job of checking Instagram comments as much as I should. But I'm very curious to see, even though I only have a fraction of almost 20K following. About a fifth of the following on. Yes, a lot of reactions on there already, too. A lot of and Bleacher Report just sent out notifications of the renderings. Okay, I want you guys. Okay, this is not a very big picture. Let me see what happens if I zoom in. There we go. Okay, that is a little better. We can scroll on this, can't we? Yes. Okay. So for now, right now, let's focus on the exterior. Okay, let's focus on that. Guys, talk to me. This is not just my thoughts here. I need to know from all of you guys. Do you like this? Do you not like this? And don't just say you hate it or you're pissed. Tell me why. Or if you love this and you think this is the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life, tell me why. Let me just say this. This is all preliminary. This is like baby steps. Step number one here, okay? So this can change. This absolutely can and may change. From the exterior, what I'm seeing right here, I can't say, you know, looks cool. I mean, SoFi Stadium has like this really nice looking park in the to the side of the stadium. Obviously, when you look around this area, let me just make sure that is, yeah, there we go. Okay, that's zooming in on your guys' end also. Okay, so this is clearly the main offices, the practice facility at the very least. You can tell that's the, what do you call it? Like the indoor practice field. I have no idea what the hell any of this is to the right. But you can tell those are the outdoor practice fields. So for those who don't know, the way the Chiefs have their field set up right now at the practice facility, the three outdoor fields, two of them, you know, one's for offense, one's for defense, and eventually they come together for a scrimmage. And then there's a third field. That third field is generally for players who are injured. So I remember many years ago when I used to cover the team, Brody Croyle was hurt at the time. Colby Smith was also injured at the time. So they would use that third field for players to work with their training staff. And then, you know, they would have Croyle throw passes to Colby Smith. Two guys, if you guys remember from a while back. Now, I do have some questions. I'm not exactly sure what this is. Is that building kind of looks like the Cerner building? I mean, I don't know. Like, is this for this is 435, I would imagine. So is that the Cerner building that we see when we drive on 435 on the side? I can't really tell. Or is this actually something from the Chiefs? I don't think the Chiefs would need, I mean, like an office building of this size, let alone, you know, this many different buildings here. You can see some of these buildings are not attached. So that's another thing I noticed right here. And then if you want to zoom out here and just get a full scale look at the exterior here. I mean, I like it. Looks nice. The parking structure here looks a little interesting. We're kind of going at an oval shape. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of parking space here. I see a lot of parking space everywhere. It kind of does remind me of Arrowhead right now. Look at this right here. This is the activity zone. Remember the renderings for the upgrades that the Chiefs released a couple of months ago? And I pretty much said that they were all very underwhelming and honestly not worth spending money for renovations, except for the activity zone. That's the only thing that I thought actually looked cool. Well, state of Kansas says, hey, we got an activity zone that we want to put out there as well. So they're definitely doing everything they can to one up Jackson County on this one. I mean, the state of Kansas is 2 feet in, trying everything in their power. By the way, for those listening on the audio version, I do apologize. I know this is not very conducive to that style of podcast. So if you guys get a chance, go watch the Facebook or the YouTube versions of this, because that's kind of, I'm trying my best to describe it as I do the play-by-play. But yeah, a lot of parking, the activity zones there. We got some buildings nearby, the practice facility. I mean, the practice facility at the Chiefs, the office building, you know, looks kind of cool. You have one of the roof is the shape of a football. I mean, I don't know. That's not anything I care so much for personally. This right here, the big one, the one I save the best for last. This is your chief stadium. What's it going to be called? Is it going to be called Arrowhead? Is it going to be called GEHA Field? Is it going to be called Kansas Stadium? I mean, I don't really know what exactly this. Chris is asking in the chat, where would this be? Looks like somewhere very close to the Legends area where Hollywood Casino is. Somewhere in within that that area. I don't know if we have specific details as to where this is exactly. As a matter of fact, let me do something real quickly. Bear with me while let me pull this up. I don't even know if I can show this on my screen. Where are we at here? I pulled up the map app on my laptop, and I'm trying to go to that area. Where is the Cerner building? Cerner. I'm just going to look that up. Okay, I see the Cerner building. So this kind of does look like the Cerner building. Yeah, this definitely looks like it's going to be between the Speedway... Hollywood. Okay, so like Hollywood Casino is kind of like at an angle towards where the Speedway is. I'll be honest, I've actually never been to the Speedway. I've been to Hollywood Casino before. And Arrowhead is going to be kind of between Cerner and where the casino and the Speedway is at. Let me see if I can pull that up. Bear with me one moment. I've actually never screen shared this before. Let me see if we can. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. Give me just one moment here. I'm gonna screenshot this app right here. Okay. So give me just one moment there. Took a screenshot, got to put it on my desktop, and then put it on the screen here. Come on. There we go. Okay, that's what I wanted. Now all I have to do is share it with you guys. There it is. Okay. So this right here is where the Cerner building is. If you go back to the rendering I showed you, the building at the very top, that looks like this exact same Cerner building. And then the rest of this area here appears to be where the activity zone is, the stadium is, the parking, the practice facility. Looks like it's going to be somewhere south of where it says Cerner Health Clinic. I don't know why health is spelled like that. Is that how Cerner spells it? That's just how it came up on the map app. No, I don't want to zoom in. There we go. We want to zoom out. And then you see north of this area, obviously, is the Legends area. You have what's that hotel called? Great Wolf Lodge or something like that. You have that there in the area. I think a Cabela's is in this area as well. Nebraska Furniture Mart. Obviously, there's Sporting Park. I was about to say Kansas City T-Bones, but the Kansas City Monarchs, their stadium is there. And then the main core area of the Legends. So that is, you know, I mean, not that this is a major surprise. This is what everyone was expecting for a very long time. This is where people are projecting this stadium to be. For the longest time, we've always said, if they move to the Kansas side, where do you go other than that area? Okay, the chat room's getting very political. Lovely. I don't know why we have to go there, but we we're there, I guess. Is there a room on the east side, or is this west side of 4? I'm assuming, Teresa, it's on the west side of 435. That's what I got out of it. That's what I think. Yeah, Great Wolf Lodge. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, we're now just... We're putting political thoughts on here. Okay, interesting. I did not know this was a political episode. Sam says, Farzin, we would lose our loudest stadium world record. Yeah, I guess we would. And I know the Chiefs are absolutely proud of that record. Like, before the Super Bowls all came, that was the two big things the Chiefs were so proud of, at least the fan base. The fan base was proud of the Derek Thomas record for most games, most sacks in a game. And then the record for loudest stadium in the NFL, still to this day, the team and the fan base love the love to brag about that record. I mean, they were that loud and proud, no pun intended. Okay, so we looked at the outside. Now let's look at the inside here. Let me go back to the screen share here. If we can go back to that, there it is. That is your exterior. So there it is. That's one last look at the Arrowhead Stadium from the outside. Here is one look from the inside. This right here is Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, I don't know if they would call it Arrowhead, what exactly the name would be, but this is the stadium proposal for Kansas. Let me just line that up a little better. Okay, there we go. That'll do. I gotta be honest, like the sidelines and that little area that both sides have does kind of remind me a lot of Allegiant Stadium. And listen, we are in a copycat world. There is nothing wrong with copying from other people. What did I tell you guys earlier this week? I said if you were going to build a new stadium, do it right. You go to two of your division rivals' stadiums at least once a year. And you just spent a whole week at the Raiders practice facility ahead of Super Bowl 58. And you damn well can bet that the Chiefs studied and learned a lot from their time visiting the Raiders and the Chargers. And especially just recently spending an entire week using the Raiders facilities. So what can you learn from that? How can you even try to top that? I will say this. I mean, it looks nice. I'm not like... blown away. There's nothing that really just because when you look at SoFi Stadium and then the stadium in Atlanta, I think it's called Mercedes-Benz. They have that nice little scoreboard on top here, that round little scoreboard 360 video board. I mean, I don't know. Why do we not have anything there here? By the way, some people are bringing this up in the chat. Is this a retractable roof? I don't know. It kind of looks like a retractable roof. Because here's the biggest thing. What do people want in Kansas City? They want the flyover. The flyover is a huge tradition. I mean, ever since Derek Thomas was requesting that for every single game. I think Carl Peterson shared that in an interview one time. Boy, I am very distracted by all these political debates in the chat right now. Great. Listen, I know a lot of people have their opinions about outdoor or indoor stadiums. And, you know, would a retractable roof be the same? Clark Hunt did say that, you know, he wants an outdoor stadium because of that January advantage. I get it. Yeah. It's a thing for sure. You're in a dome. The outdoor factor would then be taken away if this is going to be your future home. Flyovers are taken away unless you have a retractable roof. Now, at the same time, as I'm looking at this, can everybody, like, look at these people. Look at the people that are sitting here. Could they see the flyover if they're sitting all the way back here? And listen, I get it. In Arrowhead, depending where you sit, you actually might not be able to see the flyover. If you're sitting like all the way in the back row on the second level or the first level, yeah, you're missing the flyover. There's no way you're going to see it. That's just the way it is. You're 100% missing that. So, okay, this actually brings me to my next point. Antoinette is asking, aren't they also interested in hosting a Super Bowl? Here's my thing right now. If you want to build a new stadium, you need to go all in and make sure you're hosting the major events. Let me give you guys an example here. SoFi Stadium. I looked this up before going live. SoFi Stadium was built from 2016 to 2020. Since 2020, here are the list of major events that SoFi Stadium has hosted. They hosted Super Bowl 56 between the Rams and the Bengals in February of 2022. They are going to get Super Bowl 61 in February of 2027. So right now it appears SoFi Stadium is on some sort of a five-year cycle to host the Super Bowl. They also hosted the college football national title game in January of 2023. That was when Georgia absolutely eviscerated TCU 65-7. The only thing that really made that worth watching was the McAfee version of the broadcast. Outside of that, the entire thing was just a complete waste of time in the second half. The LA Bowl, which is between the Mountain West and the Pac-12, that football matchup. They've also had some high school games, some soccer games, whether it's the MLS or some international games. They will be hosting the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Now, I will say this. In the United States of America, you know, the FIFA World Cup takes place during the summertime. It's not really a big deal where you have the FIFA World Cup. Ideally, it would be nice to have it indoors to avoid potential bad weather, such as rain or whatever the case might be, because a lot of people are going to be traveling from all over the world for this, and they don't want to spend all that money to attend a game in the rain. But Arrowhead's getting it, they're outdoors. SoFi's getting it, they're indoors. So they're also going to be hosting the 2026 World Cup, just like the Chiefs are in 2026. They also, SoFi Stadium hosted WrestleMania 39. That was last year, so 12 months ago. They're also going to be hosting the 2028 Summer Olympics. They are currently being considered for the 2031 and the 2033 Rugby World Cups. I did not know the Rugby World Cup came to the United States until I did research on this. They've also had several major concerts. Obviously, the biggest one, Taylor Swift performing six nights in a row at SoFi Stadium. I think she did two nights in a row in Kansas City. I know she did three in a row at MetLife Stadium. So obviously, you know, LA is a much bigger city than Kansas City, so it makes sense to do way more shows there than here. But still, you know, you're able to get those big name. I know some performers, like singers, bands, they don't want to go to arenas. They want to go to bigger venues like stadiums. And they'll only go to stadiums where you're indoors. Listen, I've never been to a concert at Arrowhead before. Look, if you love Taylor Swift or whoever is there that you've seen at Arrowhead before, great. Enjoy your time there. I could not imagine going. You guys all know what the Midwest heat is like. You bring these events to an indoor stadium? Yeah. That sounds like a cool idea, 100%. And then, you know, going back to the parking lot, you got a massive parking lot. You can keep that tailgating going. But look, I know the flyovers. I love the flyovers, man. Whenever I go to a Chiefs game, I always make an effort to get there about 15, 20 minutes early at the very least, because I want to see the flyovers. I want to hear the national anthem, the home of the Chiefs. Everyone saying Chiefs. Like, that is part of the Arrowhead experience. If you buy a ticket, you got to be in your seat in time for that. I mean, if you get there a little late, you know, it happens, but you miss a big part of the game day experience if you're not there for the pregame. So I just, you know, you can't keep everything, I guess. It's almost like when the NFL draft was in Kansas City, they hosted it at Union Station, but the draft stage was covering up the entire building, which, you know, I get it, but at the same time, it kind of sucked because that building, Union Station, is such an iconic building in this city that you want to be able to show it off. But if you want to host the event, something has to be sacrificed, I guess. And unfortunately, I guess the view of Union Station had to go. In this case right here, when you're looking at this new Chiefs Stadium, I was about to say the new Arrowhead. I don't know what they're going to call it. I would imagine they still call it Arrowhead or GEHA Field. They're probably going to have to deal with how flyovers are going to be different. It's not going to be the same, unless you have a much bigger retractable roof. So this is, Bob's asking, what's the sticker price? I don't know. This is just a rendering. Again, keep in mind, this is all, baby step number one. We are in the very early stages here. Okay. And by the way, let me just say something, because I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't give a damn where the Chiefs go. Missouri, Jackson County, KCMO, Independence, KCK. I don't care where they go as long as they are in the Kansas City metro area. Listen, the mayor of Dallas, and I don't know how serious he is about this, but he's trying to, you know, pull for the Chiefs to come on back to Dallas, which, listen, I can understand. I guess the city of Dallas needs an NFL team, because the one they have just continues to disappoint year after year after year. So I guess the city of Dallas is desperate for a team right now, even though they're claiming they can handle two teams. They can't even handle their own team, the one they have right now. But I digress. So to me, it's like, listen, I know a lot of people, like, some of you guys are not happy about this. I see you guys in the chat. I mentioned the Facebook post I had that has had over 300 comments at the time. I don't know how many it's at right now. I'm actually very curious to see real quickly. Yeah, close to 400. There are a lot of people not happy about it. They want the Chiefs to stay in Missouri. Let me just ask you guys this. Just like me to you, okay? Forget about Clark Hunt. Forget about Quentin Lucas. Forget about Laura Kelly. Forget about all of these people. How does the Chiefs being in your city or in your stadium benefit you? Yeah, the city might economically be impacted by this. If they leave, yeah, it's going to be a negative impact. If you're gaining the Chiefs, it's going to be a positive impact. But you directly, like, this doesn't matter for your life in a very personal manner. Yeah, if you live in Kansas City, Missouri, it probably does not take you very long to get to the stadium, whereas now you're going to have to go on a bit of a drive here. Listen, me selfishly, like, distance-wise, I don't really care. They're like the same for me from where I'm at. So if you're upset about proximity and distance for driving, come on, man. Doesn't hurt to go on a 20-minute road trip, if you will. I'm being facetious while I say that. But my biggest thing to me is, I mean, as long as they're in the KC area, because when the results came in on April 2nd, a lot of the national media, and I know the national media, they don't follow things as closely as everyone in the local media. They immediately started driving up that narrative. Oh, the Chiefs and Royals might be leaving. Well, hold on. We're not there yet. Not yet, that is. Let me just say this. For a long time, I've said I don't think the Chiefs will leave Missouri. I've said that for a long time. Now, am I as confident about that statement today? No. Not one bit. Not one bit. I think that the idea of the Chiefs moving to Kansas is a strong possibility. And I think we have to be prepared for that. Not because, and by the way, I don't understand the negative comments out there. I'm seeing a lot of people say, oh, Jackson County doesn't want them. No, Jackson County did not vote for no because they're saying no to the Royals and the Chiefs. They're saying no to the very underwhelming renovation ideas and the downtown stadium idea. Because, listen, the Chiefs want, okay, it's simple. They just wanted to do renovations. But the Royals, there were a lot of logistics, a lot of details that were left out. Why would you vote no? They wanted your vote. They just wanted you to say yes. And their, like, main point was keep the Royals and the Chiefs here. Well, yeah, of course Jackson County residents want to keep the Chiefs and Royals, but they also want to know some more information, and you were not willing to give that information. They were not even willing to go talk to people in Jackson County. Okay, so we have a presidential election come up. Since you guys love to be so political in the comments here, why is Donald Trump doing rallies? Why is Joe Biden talking to people? Why are they doing this? Because they want your vote. They want to talk to you. They want to tell you what they're going to do. They want to tell you what their policies are. You're not going to go to the polls, and if you know nothing about about a candidate that wants your vote, if they're not willing to give you any information, whether it's president, governor, mayor, whoever it may be, if they're not telling you what they're going to do and they're just asking you to trust them, you're going to be voting hell no to that person, and you're going to vote for someone else that's actually spent the time and effort in trying to give you the information that you need to know. So, bear with me one moment. It looks like some more people in the media bear with me. I think this tweet is actually worth showing right now. Like I've said, and I'm about to show you something that I've already said, but I think it means a little more coming from a reporter here on this subject. So this is from Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star, who, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Star, but I think Sam actually does a very good job covering the Kansas City Chiefs. And he just tweeted this moments ago, and I think it's important that we share this right here. Very important context here. And he says that these renderings is not something that the Chiefs were involved in. So, like I've said, this is from the state of Kansas. This is Clark Hunt did not put this out there. Mark Donovan did not put this out there. This is the state of Kansas essentially telling the Chiefs, hey, we got candy here, okay? Come on over. We can make this. You don't like this kind of candy? What kind of candy you want? We can make it sweeter for you. That's what's going on right now. And I am very, very curious to see what Missouri is going to do, because there's no way in hell they're just going to sit there with their hands on their laps. They are going to answer 100. We're going to be, we have a bidding war on our hands. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And what did Clark Hunt say on Saturday? He said that we have 6.5 years left on our lease at the Truman Sports Complex at Arrowhead. Keep in mind, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, I think some people learned this maybe this year for the first time, Kauffman is not owned by the Royals. Arrowhead is not owned by the Chiefs. Arrowhead is not owned by Clark Hunt. It's owned by Jackson County. Now, Jackson County does allow Clark Hunt and the Chiefs to do a lot. Can you guys hear that? It's raining in the background. I mean, I don't know. I can definitely hear my headphones, but I guess the microphone's picking it up as well. But county allows the Chiefs, they give them a lot of freedom to kind of do whatever they want to do with that stadium. If they want to make upgrades, if they want to do anything to try to improve certain things in the stadium, they pretty much give them the freedom to do all of those kinds of things. I'm sure maybe in some sense the county would need to be informed as to what's going to happen, but I don't think they're going to step in and stop it. They'll, as long as it's nothing terrible, they're more than willing to allow that here. Kevin says Kansas will win in a bidding war. Listen, I know Arrowhead, like, the Hunt family has such an affinity for that stadium and that spot. Someone on Twitter was saying they better not leave. There's so much history there. Look, I mean, the history will always exist. It's just going to be in a different location. This is going to be the same team. It's going to be the Kansas City. Now, who's going to be the head coach at the time? I have no idea. Hopefully, Mahomes is still playing at a high level at the time. We don't know that either. Diamond says Missouri Governor Parson needs to step up and save Missouri's only NFL team. Yeah, this is a really good point by Diamond here. They already lost to Rams, and guess what? The Rams, they went to LA and they won the Super Bowl, and coincidentally they did it in their own home stadium against the Bengals. I don't think the state of Missouri wants to lose another NFL team, and on top of that, another pro team. I know at the time losing the Wizards, which they've now renamed themselves to Sporting Kansas City, was probably not a big deal at the time. But I guess, you know, when it adds up, and it just kind of does have that impact on the state of Missouri. Let me just say this to you guys. I actually have this on from a reputable source. So this is someone who I really trust. But the senator from Kansas has told me that it's happening. Their words, not mine. Another thing they said is the one thing that Missouri lacks is sports gambling. I mean, a lot of you guys have DraftKings, FanDuel, all of those apps, right? You guys on the Missouri side, I mean, I guess, you know, how do you do it? I guess you got to come to the Kansas side for like 5 minutes, or I don't know how that stuff really works. I actually remember, so I have DraftKings. I was on the Missouri side. I actually wanted to place a bet, and it would not let me because my location was in the state of Missouri. So I'm very surprised that sports gambling in Missouri, I mean, they have not even started turning the wheels on that. Why? What are you doing? Why is that not happening in Missouri? I don't know. Like, I don't think Mike Parson has even really made an effort for this. Oh, Chase, good to meet you as well, man. Yeah, Chase, shout out to Chase. He was sitting in front of me at WWE Raw. And yeah, you were handing out those flyers for Fountain City Pro. Yeah, so check that out. If you're a pro wrestling fan, Fountain City Pro, they've got an event. Wrestling. A lot of people have been telling me to attend a wrestling event, like a local wrestling event. I got to try, man. I'm going to make an effort to try to attend one of these days to a local wrestling show because people have been telling me a lot of good things about it. So I'll definitely consider that. Hopefully I can make it to that one. If not, I got to go sometime in the future. But anyway, I lost my train of thought there. But I guess the point is, with the Chiefs right now, you've got options. You know who the Chiefs are. They are, you know, that prom queen that every guy wants to take. A lot of guys asking that girl out, and the Chiefs have options. You know, where do you go? You want to go to Missouri? You want to go to Kansas? Where do you want to go? Listen, my prediction has always been that they're going to stay where they are. Maybe they build a new stadium in that same area at the Truman Sports Complex. Once the Royals go, maybe they can use that space and build a dome there. But the idea of them even leaving that complex, I think, is just becoming more and more of a reality. And then you consider, are they going to even be in KC Moore in Jackson County? That might even be a serious question at this point. Yeah, I don't even know what to think right now with the situation here. A lot of people are making a big deal about this. Look, if you're on the Missouri side, it's still going to be who are you going to root for? The Raiders? Seriously? You want to root for the Bills? You want to go heartbreak after heartbreak year after year? I mean, you want that? I mean, not that the Chiefs, they've had heartbreak over the years. Don't get me wrong, but I guess it's kind of, you know, worth the wait considering everything that they've got going on right now. Listen, I have no idea what's going to go on with the Royals. They did have other ideas, North Kansas City. So I guess they do have backup options. And listen, it is kind of sad because, you know, I still remember my parents taking my brother and I to the Truman Sports Complex. They would take us to Chiefs games. They would take us to Royals games. You know, having those two right there, pretty cool. And obviously a lot of memories. And now, you know, in potentially less than 10 years, there might not be a reason to go to Truman Sports Complex ever again because there's not going to be anything there. I'm not exactly sure. Charlie is saying, where is the Kansas Speedway located at? Could be the new stadium. Go. Yes. So we were sharing earlier, and maybe you came in a little late, Charlie. But let me pull up the... Bear with me 1 second here. So, yeah, this is a rendering from the state of Kansas, not the Chiefs. I want to be clear on that for anyone that's coming in late. Where this is located exactly kind of looks like this area right here, which I'm about to share. That's not the correct one. There we go. It looks like it's going to be in this area right in the middle of your screen. Because this building right here that says Cerner Health Center or Cerner Health Clinic, and I don't know why health is spelled like that. That building kind of looks like the one you see in the rendering. Maybe I'm wrong. It's been a while since I've drove past that area. But That's where we're at right now. Tim says, I have to believe that there will be a regrouping and one more vote in Jackson County. I don't disagree. I think that that is a strong possibility here. Let me just say this, too. If you're going to do another vote in Jackson County, fine. I think, you know, you deserve to have a second chance there, whether you're the Chiefs and also the people in Jackson County. But if you're the Chiefs, be very clear and transparent from the start. This campaign was a disaster. Like, it was bad. It was bad. Because all of a sudden, Clark Hunt on the Chiefs website wrote a letter clarifying so many things, and that same letter went out to Jackson County residents. That needs to be done, you know, the moment this idea is proposed. The whole idea of a new tax, or is this an existing tax that they're trying to renew? People weren't quite sure, and there was a lot of misinformation out there from Casey Tenants. They obviously had a very strong stance on this, and they were trying to get their narrative out there. I'll be honest, you know, I'm not sure what the right answer was with all of that. I really don't. A lot of people obviously have their strong feelings. Some people in favor of what Casey Tenants did. Some people were actually very pissed off, and they actually blame Casey Tenants and think Casey Tenants is the reason why they're leaving Missouri. Which, again, like, if you live in Missouri, why do you care as long as they're in the metro area? Jeremy says, as a taxpayer myself in the state of North Dakota, I'm sure the same applies for the residents of Jackson County, Missouri. I would not use my tax dollars to help fund a new stadium. Not a chance in hell. I have been a Chiefs fan over 30 years. Yeah, listen, I mean, there's a whole narrative that owners should pay for their own stadiums. Clark Hunt was willing to foot $300 million and was asking $500 million from Jackson County. And to me, it's like, okay, so this is going to cost $800 million, excuse me, for a lot of very underwhelming ideas. And I just did not see that. You might as well just save that money for a brand new stadium. By the way, some people keep throwing out the idea, did Clark Hunt intentionally have bad plans, bad ideas for renovations as a hope that this vote would fail? I mean, I would hope not, because you use your own players, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, who are two mega superstars, not just in Kansas City, but in the face of this planet right now. And they're coming off the practice field. I don't know when this was, maybe in December or January. And you had them film a little thing. Kansas City, vote yes. You made them do it. I don't think you want to make them look silly in all of this. And the fact that, you know, you used, when I say you, I'm talking the Chiefs and Royals. You used Mahomes, Salvador Perez, and Travis Kelce, three beloved athletes in this town, and you still could not. I mean, those guys essentially endorsed it, and it didn't work still. If you're going to do a second vote and you want to do a whole new set of ideas, be clear about it from the beginning. And then 2 weeks before the vote, the Chiefs and the Royals had this joint statement promising, you know, improved economics for housing and all these things. Why was this not promised earlier? Like, you're going to lure people to vote yes and make these promises 2 weeks before a vote? I mean, that is politics 101 right there from the playbook. I don't know. I didn't like it. I just did not like it at all. Not one bit. But there you have it. I'll show it one last time, and then we're going to move on and talk about a couple of other subjects. So there is the outdoor look of the new Chiefs Stadium, the proposed Chiefs Stadium by the state of Kansas, not from the Chiefs. The Chiefs have had no involvement in this. And then here's an interior look. Obviously, you've got the four Super Bowl logos on both sides with the banner there. That looks beautiful. Might need to start doing, like, right here. Hold on, can I zoom in with it? Yeah, there we go. Right where those windows are, like, wouldn't that be a great spot to start putting some of your banners? Kind of like what, I was about to say what Allegiant Stadium does, but they don't win Super Bowls there. Kind of like what Gillette Stadium does. Because I think the way they, I know they've got like this really tall bridge and like a wide open area. Now, I will say this, and I don't know, I mean, how many, this looks very similar to the Raider Stadium, like 60 some thousand. Arrowhead used to be 80,000 at one point. So we're going to go to a 20,000 seat drop off by doing this. But I guess you got to get with the times because a lot of these new stadiums, we have 11 NFL stadiums that are indoors. And, we have 30 stadiums total. So more than a third are indoor stadiums. And those stadiums are all succeeding getting all these major events. And I think if you're the Chiefs, you gotta, you know, make sure you're doing it right so you can get those events as well. You want an indoor stadium? Cool. Make sure you're getting a piece of the pie like all of these other stadiums that are getting major events, like the Super Bowl, like Final Fours, like WrestleManias, those major events. So I'll leave you guys with that. All right, I want to switch topics here and talk about Travis Kelce getting a new two-year deal here. Now, let me clarify on this, because this was reported originally as a two-year extension. I don't know how this happened, but I guess a lot of people in the media received really bad intel from somebody in Kelce's camp, or maybe someone just misspoke and they didn't mean to say extension, but that's the word that came out of their mouth. It's not an extension, because if it was, Kelce would be under contract through 2027. That is not the case. I thought this was, you know, four more years of Travis Kelce. It's not. SpotTrack actually clarified this, sourcing Travis Kelce's agent. So you, if someone is saying they spoke to their agent, you can trust this report here. But SpotTrack made it clear, and I think other people in the media clarified as well, that this is not a two-year extension. This is a redo of the 2 years left on Travis Kelce's deal, making him the highest paid tight end in the NFL right now. And I didn't have the dollar numbers in front of me, so forgive me, I don't have that in front of me. Let me just say this, though. Travis Kelce has always been about the team for a very long time, and he's always taken less money. So if the final 2 years of his playing career, which is very likely because by the time his contract is over, he will be 36 years old. And I think that's at the time where he might step away. He might pursue Hollywood. We all know his girlfriend is a multi-billionaire. So I guess, you know, they might get married and enjoy a much more relaxing life where he's not getting hit as much and he can pursue an acting career where you're not, physically stressing out. And he did admit in an interview, one of the magazine interviews, and I can't remember which one, that he's, the injuries are kind of starting to take a toll on him, and I get it. But I think he also wants to play the game just a little bit more, and maybe walk away with a three-peat. I will not rule out the possibility of a three-peat, of a retirement, excuse me, if the Chiefs three-peat. If they three-peat, he probably will let go of that final year. I could see it happening that way. I really do. Not that I want it, but that's probably a great way to walk away from the sport if you're Travis Kelce and you're at that age. The other thing about it is, you know, Kelce's staying, you know, seems like for a year, maybe 2 years, but it's going to be getting paid a lot of money during those 2 years. And this is just, you know, more weapons for Patrick Mahomes to work with for a long time. For people who love to throw the narrative, wait till Patrick loses Travis Kelce. Wait till Andy Reid's no longer there. Sorry to disappoint you guys, because the Chiefs, they are keeping this dynasty together. They restructured Patrick Mahomes' deal. They restructured Travis Kelce's deal. They re-signed Chris Jones, and they extended the following people: Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, General Manager Brett Veach, and Team President Mark Donovan. The core four, which is Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, and Reid, are staying, and then your defensive coordinator, Spags, has been extended, and you extended your general manager, who has done a hell of a job since taking over for John Dorsey. And you also have your team president, Mark Donovan, who's staying as well. Those seven are going to be here a little longer. So for those of you that hate the Chiefs and you want to see their downfall very soon, sorry to disappoint you. You're going to have to wait a little longer. Good on the Chiefs, man. They're doing, has it been perfect? No, they couldn't keep Tyreek Hill. They couldn't keep L'Jarius Sneed. Now we'll see how they do without Legarius Sneed, which I don't think will change a whole lot. This team is still dominating on all cylinders. No one's been better than the Chiefs in the last 5 to 6 years. I know they didn't win a Super Bowl 6 years ago. All of the three Super Bowl wins have been within the last 5 years. But even, you know, in that six-year stretch, they've been reaching the AFC title game every single time, each of the last 6 years. So good to see them keeping the core guys in place a little longer here in Kansas City. Okay, last thing I want to touch on here. So I attended WWE Monday Night Raw in Kansas City. Thanks to my friends over at SeatGeek. That's where you can go for your ticketing needs, by the way. New customers can use my promo code FARZINE and save $20 off their first purchase. In case you didn't hear me say that before. This was my first wrestling event in 15 years. The last time I attended was when Triple H had long hair and was wrestling. It was weird. It was kind of a boring show. That was when they had ECW to open up and they taped it for the next day on Tuesday. But that was when Randy Orton handcuffed Triple H to the rope. Stephanie McMahon got the DDT and she was knocked out and Randy Orton kissed her. And that, for whatever reason, has the most views on WWE's YouTube page. That was the last time I was at a WWE event. I went and I had no idea they were going to do all of this. So Trey Smith, as you guys know, he was during the shooting at the parade, after the parade, rather. There was a young boy named Joey Borganzi who was panicking, essentially, because of the whole situation. And when they were locked down and on the bus ride, Trey Smith was trying to keep him calm. And at the end of it, he said, "Hey, man, you got through this like a champ." He gave him the WWE custom-made belt for the Chiefs. So for those who know, WWE, they create a custom belt for all the sports teams that win a championship. And the Chiefs have had plenty of those recently, which is cool. He gave that to Joey Borganzi. And they honored those two at WrestleMania earlier this month. They honored them before the show. So Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Joey Borganzi, and I believe some kids who were victims of the shooting at the parade, who were admitted to Children's Mercy Hospital, they were also there before the event, and they were there with their parents. And Joey Borganzi got to introduce Monday Night Raw, which was cool. I believe they showed that on TV at some point, because this happened before the live portion started. So it was pretty cool that they did it that way. And then later on during the event, well, actually right when the event started, Logan Paul is shown at the parking lot and he's entering with Patrick Mahomes. He's also entering with a crew named the Judgment Day. These are all like heels. In other words, they're the bad guys. So Patrick Mahomes is coming in playing as a bad guy, but he's getting cheered by Arrowhead, or not by Arrowhead, by T-Mobile Center, everyone in there, which is kind of an interesting mix there. All the wrestling podcasters and radio show hosts, they were a little thrown off by how the WWE was trying to do all of this. They're having a popular guy here team up with bad guys. And I get Logan Paul and Patrick Mahomes are prime partners, but it still was weird for a pro wrestling mix. It was odd. But Patrick Mahomes gives three Super Bowl rings to Logan Paul. Obviously, it wasn't really the three rings. They were replicas, and they have not received this year's Super Bowl ring yet. So one of them was probably the same as the other. And Logan Paul, I guess he actually nailed JD McDonagh unintentionally. The intention was to attack one of the main good guys, Jey Uso, the son of Rikishi, also related to The Rock. And that got, obviously that was kind of a funny moment there. And then Braun Strowman, who I'm not very familiar with, he came back. I guess he came back. I don't know how long he's been out for, but he chased Logan Paul out of the arena. And then he had a very interesting stare down with Patrick Mahomes. And then Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey stood up. Mahomes sandwiched by those two guys. Mahomes is in his seat, by the way. This is not Mahomes in the ring. But basically, they told Braun Strowman, "Hey, get the hell out of here." So that happened. It was kind of like, listen, everyone in Kansas City loved it. But I guess if you're, you know, a New York Giants fan in New York and you're watching this, you're kind of confused. Like, The crowd hates Logan Paul, but they're cheering for Patrick Mahomes, who is cool with Logan Paul in the segment. It's like, it was kind of a weird... Listen, I heard this on Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM. If you're going to use Patrick Mahomes, do it in San Francisco, where he's going to get booed. But then again, it doesn't make sense to take Patrick Mahomes to San Francisco for a WWE event. Why not have Mahomes like team up with someone that's actually popular? I don't know, like CM Punk, two widely popular figures in their industries. I don't know. It was a little odd. Yeah, Chase, you were there. Let me get this spammer out of the way. I mean, I'm not the best when it comes to pro wrestling. I'm just like a casual viewer, and I don't even watch all of the product. Monday Night Raw was kind of boring, and a lot of people felt that way. But man, I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like, I think you should have maybe thought better about how you were going to draw that up. But hey, everyone in the arena seemed to enjoy it, and I think that's all they really care about. Apparently, the crowd was dead when Patrick Mahomes was introduced. I don't know, man. That place sounded loud and proud when they introduced Patrick Mahomes. And it was kind of weird. Like, Logan Paul was on the microphone about to announce draft picks, and because they were doing a WWE draft, which it was silly how they did their version of a draft. But Logan Paul said, hey, Samantha Irvin, who was the ring announcer, introduced Mahomes. And she actually, like, introduced him very well. Two-time MVP, three-time champion. Everyone went nuts. That was pretty cool. They usually don't introduce celebrities that way at an arena in WWE. So that was kind of weird. By the way, the funniest part, so The Miz, who was on The Real World many years ago and also on The Challenge, he is tag team champions with a longtime pro wrestler named R-Truth, who is kind of taking on this funny persona where he seems to be clueless on everything. R-Truth turned to his tag team partner, The Miz, and said, hey, we should draft some of the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. And The Miz goes, how do you do that? Because they're not pro wrestlers, they're football players. And The Miz then goes, maybe we should ask Patrick Mahomes how to do that. And R-Truth responded and said, oh, the State Farm insurance guy. So that I got a kick out of that. I thought that was pretty cool. See, Christopher says, because we're the heels of the NFL. I 100%, listen, I actually thought it was cool that Patrick Mahomes gave the rings to Logan Paul. It's like, listen, Mahomes has already embraced the villain role in the NFL. Take on the villain role in WWE also. Like, that was perfect. By the way, let me just say this real quickly. Yeah, that stadium, intro of hers by Samantha was awesome. I loved it. That was really cool. Let me just say this real quickly. Actually, I lost my train of thought completely. I don't even know what I was going to say. Something about WWE and the draft and and Mahomes being there. I don't remember what I was going to say. I will say this though, because when I was at the event, like I said, it was my first wrestling event in 15 years. When I was there, I just kind of like thought, man, these guys, this is not an ideal like life. And I don't know how much money they're making. Like, obviously the ones at the top, like Cody Rhodes, yeah, they're making a lot of money. CM Punk, those guys make a shit ton of money. But a lot of these guys don't make as much money. In fact, I've actually heard like stories that some of the wrestlers will actually travel with other wrestlers. Like, they'll get an RV together because they can't afford their own, and they'll just travel together like that and go on the road to all these events. These guys are on the road all the time. Like, they have Monday Night Raw, and then they might go somewhere Wednesday. I know there's a pay-per-view this week outside of the U.S., so maybe it's a lighter schedule, but still, you're traveling internationally. But, man, these guys go perform, like, 3 to 4 times a week. And you guys might say, well, the NBA does that too. Yeah, but in the NBA, they're still an off-season, and they're getting paid a lot more money for what they're doing. Hulk Hogan was on Rogan's podcast months ago and talked about how the mental illness on this does have a serious effect on these wrestlers and the amount of times they're on the road. Jonathan Coachman, who's from the Kansas City area, or he's from Wichita technically, but spent a lot of time in Kansas City, he did a podcast with CVV and said something to the effect of how no one should ever have to work 52 weeks a year that you do need some. Yeah, Christopher says some live shows in between tapings. Yeah, they have a lot of non-televised events also. So I don't know, man, like that pro wrestling life is a weird one. I actually read a book in high school. It's a very good book if you guys are ever interested in this, especially if you're a wrestling fan. It's called Are We There Yet? Rey Mysterio and Big Show are on the cover of it. It actually like has like, it's essentially like a diary of all the wrestlers, not all the wrestlers, but a lot of them and their experiences on the road. So for example, Matt Hardy, at the time he was dating Lita, and just talked about how after an event, they just wanted to kind of get away from crowds, fans, coworkers, and just go out somewhere for ice cream just to enjoy time together because they hardly get to do that with their travel schedules. Another one, I think it was Stacey Keibler. Stacey Keibler shared a really funny story. She was going somewhere for a model, like a photo shoot, and she was at the airport trying to meet her driver that was going to pick her up. She was at the front door and she's like, they're on the phone trying to communicate. She says, I don't see you at the front door. They're both at the front door. And I guess the driver said, what city are you in? They realized they were in two different cities, which is hilarious. Like you're trying to meet someone and you're not at the same place. That had to be a very interesting revelation there. So, it kind of made me interested. Like I kind of want to know more about the business of pro wrestling, specifically like WWE, and just how do those people handle it? The stress, the travel, because that is a lot on those guys. And they're on the road all the time, like literally all the time. They spend more time in hotel beds than they do in their own actual beds. So I'd be very curious to read up about that kind of thing sometime down the road. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Chief Zone Podcast. Appreciate all of you guys for watching on Facebook and YouTube. For those of you listening on the audio version, I know this was not a very audio-friendly podcast based on all the things we discussed. So I appreciate all of you guys bearing with me on this episode. If you have heard the audio version, you want to maybe see some of the pictures we shared, check them out on Facebook and on YouTube. Red Friday live chat will be this week, so make sure you guys tune in for that. Otherwise, I'm out. I will talk to you guys later on Farzi Vesugi, and take care. See you later.